It's the Rule of Threes podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
And I'm Casey Lawrence.
Casey Lawrence, we're not alone in the room today.
No, we have a guest watching us. It's another Chris.
Yes, your childhood friend.
Yes, ready to listen to a live taping of the podcast. We got a guest. I'm so excited.
We have I have a small hotel room in Times Square.
We're in New York. We're live from the location
Casey
of the NBA draft.
Casey is sort of like splayed on the bed in a very small hotel room with two Chris's. And he's holding a mic.
Yeah.
You were here visiting for Delco's Marathon, and you're visiting friends. You're actually leaving tomorrow. I'm just getting here.
Yes.
Before we talk about anything else, we need to talk about a quick Uncle Drew summary.
It's the Uncle Drew recap, and we're doing it with Casey and Chris. So get on up here, buddy.
Yeah.
You gotta talk about this.
Yeah, you can take this mic. I just want a quick summary. I'm going to put the other Chris on the mic. Tell us what you guys thought of Uncle Drew.
Oh, man. Here we go. Can I just say that Uncle Drew was the perfect movie to watch while just a little too high?
Super, super high.
I mean, I loved Uncle Drew because it was just so dumb.
The NBA pros did a very good job of fitting their characters, specifically Chris Webber as the preacher.
Chris Webber was so good.
Was a real gem.
Truly did an amazing job being a character. Like, he was a real character, and, you know, he had one note, but it was a note that he hit, and he hit it well. Everything that he did was great. The worst part of the movie, by far,
Reggie Miller.
Was Reggie Miller.
Yeah. Reggie Miller is as unlikable old as he is middle-aged and young.
God, I mean, Reggie just needs to get off of it.
Yeah. I don't like him. I don't like him as a sideline announcer.
Yeah.
I don't think he's like a really compelling personality.
No.
I would love for him to shoot threes for the Los Angeles Lakers, but outside of that,
Dunzo. On Reggie. Want to give a major shout out to Nick Kroll, who really carries the humor part of the movie.
He's the most talented actor in that movie.
Yeah, it was.
And I think he's funny, so I don't mean that in a put down way, but he's a pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. So go see Uncle Drew just with your buddies. Just be willing to laugh. Be prepared to like it's corny. There's some dumb shit in there, but there's a lot of like funny references too. One of the best things was Nick Kroll ad-libbed a James Unworthy line. It was like, James Unworthy, that's a fantastic insult.
Yeah. Yeah. Overall solid.
Thumbs up from both of you guys.
Yeah.
A high thumbs up.
High thumbs up.
A high, like, sideways.
I think if I was bored and like normally watching it just like by myself, it would have been like, why am I here? Like,
you'd only watch it five times.
No. I mean, I'm going to watch it five times, but I'll probably not have as much fun the last couple of times. So this has been your Uncle Drew review.
every week we'll have two new people come and review the movie Uncle Drew. Casey, you said you're actually going to end up seeing it multiple times, which means you're going to pay for it.
I am going to pay for it. Now my MoviePass won't let me see the same movie over and over again. And I have to make sure that MoviePass isn't listening, because I may end up going to see Book Club.
Right.
Wink, wink. Or going to see Adrift. Wink, wink.
Yeah, there's a movie theater in Koreatown that you can see a lot of Korean classics.
Yeah,
that might also have Uncle Drew there.
Yes,
but it doesn't matter, because MoviePass is falling apart.
Yeah.
In front of our eyes.
Oh my God!
they just added the extra surcharge.
Yeah, they got surge pricing for MoviePass now. Yeah. So, you know, if you see a movie at a hot time, you got to pay $3.24 extra or whatever they fucking decide. So
we're going to ride MoviePass into the ground before they go out of business.
Very excited for that.
I have been on a plane since 5 a.m. this morning, and then I just saw Harry Potter, The Cursed Child, Part 1.
Ooh.
But this is not a Harry Potter podcast, so I won't give you... Besides, I'm supposed to, as my button says, hashtag keep the secrets, which means I'm not supposed to tell anything about what I saw.
Okay.
Which is like, what do you think happens in this play?
Harry Potter, there's wizard stuff.
I've seen Part 1, and I would just say that they handed us these buttons as we left, and I was like, what am I... There's nothing even... So far, there's no big secrets.
Nothing.
They do say don't read the cat. As you open the program, it's like, don't read this. Because if you read the cast list, it's like, it gives away spoilers.
Also, the other spoiler is like, if you read the book when it came out, the playbook, because they put the book out.
Yes, the entire script.
Okay, great.
Keep the secrets reaction
from YouTube. Yeah. Yes, yeah, you got to keep the secrets.
So I have not heard if there's any new NBA news today.
The only new NBA news today is that Trae Young still sucks at shooting threes.
Oh, no. Did he have another bad game?
I mean, I don't think he's had another bad game, but he's not had a good game.
He started out like 0-for-9.
It was tough. It was really tough. The important thing is that we left our last podcast.
That's right.
Right in the middle of
we were
excited about LeBron.
In Greek tragedy, there's a thing called hamartia or hubris.
Yes.
Hamartia is like a tragic flaw.
Okay.
And the hubris of us hitting stop on our record machine.
Just seconds before.
Right before Rajon Rondo was signed.
Oh, my Lord.
What else? And then Boogie.
I mean, just having the two of those come down later in the day after we were like, oh, we're going to get our podcast done in the middle of the day and be really cool. Fuck. What
this league is insane.
It's
crazier
so
than WWE at this point.
I mean, I don't understand how just out of control the Warriors have been with this run of luck that they've had.
Yes. Now, do you believe Boogie when he says he didn't get offers?
No, I do not believe Boogie when he says he did
not
get
offers. So you just, he wants to...
I think he wants to control his narrative because, you know, if you say you didn't get offers, then that puts it in like, well, they were out to fuck me, so I went to fuck all of them.
Right.
Right?
I think there's some truth to the idea, though, that teams were not beating down his door.
That I mean, yeah.
So there's probably some truth to him just being like, well, fuck it. I'm just going to go with like an amazing team that's going to win a ring.
I think maybe he just didn't get serious offers. Like serious offers like in the $25 million.
I can see him being like, oh, you're not going to give me 20? I'll take 5.
Yeah, just to say, fuck you, and I'll be back on the market next year.
Well, and also he, with the Warriors, probably doesn't have to play till like March.
Yeah.
If he doesn't want to.
Yeah, no. And you know, I don't know how much he's gonna rehab his value if he doesn't play until March, but then you know, I mean he says he's gonna be back at training camp. That's extremely aggressive. It just doesn't feel like that's the truth.
Yeah.
It feels like that's his hubris. And you know, Boogie's
mostly hubris.
he's a lot of hubris, but he seems like he's I don't know, it feels like he's a nice guy to like everybody except for reporters.
I bet he's
and
very nice to waiters.
Yeah.
And I bet there's a lot of people that are like, I bet a lot of people are like, oh, he was nicer than I expected him to be.
Yeah, because he's just like so weird to every reporter and so weird to every player that he.
But I have a feeling he's an asshole towards his coaches.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I mean, he and George Karl got along like gangbusters.
Yeah. But you know, the Lakers got a great coaches player, Rajon Rondo.
I mean,
coaches love him.
Man, I mean, I'm trying my hardest to look at these signings and just go, okay, this completely empty glass is 0.01% full. And that's,
well, it's always going to be half full because they got LeBron.
Yeah.
Which is, I think it's funny. So on the plane, I listened to the Zach Lowe podcast and the Bill Simmons one, and they were both, so they're sort of making fun of these moves. Right. And Bill Simmons was even saying like that the Lakers front office has been incompetent for years, whatever. I'm like, you can't say a front office is incompetent when they got LeBron.
Yeah.
Like, that's a baseline. Like, you did a good job this summer.
Yes. There's something to be said for that. But I do kind of see his point in that, like, LeBron decided this whether or not the front office
did not meet with
was
Luke.
There.
He kind of like, just didn't seem to really care.
He just kind of hung out with Magic for a little bit, had Magic over for, you know, a little hug and then goodbye. I mean, if I don't know.
What if Magic had gone to the wrong Brentwood house? he was standing in front of one house in Brentwood.
Yeah.
Next to, like...
I mean, Cookie told me to put this in the GPS, and you know...
And you know, Brentwood GPS can get fucked up, because if you go look for OJ's house, it doesn't exist anymore.
Ooh.
They took away the address.
Wow.
So you can look up the address for OJ's house in Brentwood, and... That number house, the physical house is still there, but the number has changed.
I feel like Magic's going to know that area pretty well just from all the sex parties he went to in the 80s.
Do you think Brentwood has like serious sex parties?
With Magic Johnson? Absolutely.
Maybe so. I wonder if that's where he lived.
I mean, I don't know. He could live wherever he wanted. Those sex parties would have come to him.
I think the Lakers front office they've made good draft picks.
I think so too.
Now, granted, they're getting rid of most of them. and they might be for Kawhi.
Yeah.
But
the, you know, yes, the Deng and Mozgov contracts are were from day one.
That's
awful.
All Jimmy.
Yeah.
Now you are concerned about the alchemy of a KCP, a JaVale McGee, a Lance Stephenson, and a Rajon Rondo. Three of those four players are like have been considered like problems.
Yeah. So, I mean, JaVale, it seems like he's done a really good job of rehabilitating his image in Golden State because, you know, I mean.
But he's still a dumb player.
Yes, yes.
Like, he'll still try to dunk a ball, and he's 8 feet tall and misses.
That, I mean, it's wild to me.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, like, trying to replicate him dunking on both of the hoops. Just, like, just put it in the basket, my dude. Which he did in the finals, 16 for 20.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like, that's, you know. That's real.
It's amazing to be that tall and miss a dunk, though.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be, that's, I think, literally the equivalent of us missing, like, a Nerf hoop dunk over a doorway.
I've done
that. Which probably has happened.
I've super done that. Chris has blocked me on those. I've 100%.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of my best Chris stories is he was, we were, like, taking a, like, a Nerf hoop around the bar and just dunking on people just to, like, get in their face. And so we were watching some football game and he was very upset with how the football game was going. And so we dunked on him and he was upset and mad and he, like, hit the backboard down on the ground, broke it. It was one of the glass ones. And I looked at him and I just fucking slapped him across the face at the bar. And we were both drunk and it was a great time.
Yeah, I've never had a friendship that would survive anything like that.
Oh,
so this is pretty impressive.
That's like tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you think these moves are about, Casey?
To me, get
inside Pelinka's head.
Here's what the moves are. The moves are home run swings, right? The moves are, if these guys work out, that's great, and we can maybe even re-sign them next
year. Are all four of them on one-year contracts?
Every single one of them.
Okay.
Right? So if you're doing this move and you're saying, okay, well, we know that we're waiting to save and roll this cap space over. We have to spend it because of the salary floor.
Yeah.
We need to make sure that we have players on the team who can play minutes.
Yep.
And, like, all those guys play minutes. You know,
yeah. I mean, most players play minutes. Yeah. Most players don't step on the court and they don't log their minutes.
Do not ask me to defend my incredible stretches. I'm just stretching it. Like, this is like if somebody was, like, telling me to, like, you got to stretch time.
Well, the thing I'm sad about losing Randall.
I am also sad about losing Randall, but it felt like he didn't want to be in limbo anymore, which he was in limbo
and
for a couple of years.
I think they greatly appreciated that he worked really hard last year. He had a lot of drive. He has his dumb IQ moments as well.
Yeah.
And I think that there was always a dissonance between the way Luke wants to really play and his sort of, like, letting Julius go,
like feast play, on
yeah,
like
play
a
how
drive
he wants
and
to play.
A board and just like, but like,
but it doesn't lead to the way, it doesn't lead to Warriors Light.
No.
So, and that's what Luke probably wants to go for
a little bit. And it'll be interesting to see him try to implement that with the young kids and LeBron.
I also think that's why they let go of Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah.
He had his moments and then,
I mean, and the contract, you know?
Yeah. And the fact that they, like, sent contracts to the team they were trying to poach their best player from and took it.
I mean, I don't think that I can criticize any moves that Magic and Pelinka have made except for these one-year deals that don't make sense. But even then, I can kind of defend them with, like, their one-year who-gives-a-fuck deals.
I don't think they're going to win the championship this year anyway, so I mean, I don't think it really matters.
Yeah, how could they? They're going up against a team that won 67 games last year in Houston and a team that just added DeMarcus fucking Cousins to their starting lineup. I don't know if you knew the other people they had in their starting lineup. Are you familiar with the Golden State Warriors?
They literally have five All-Stars now.
It's
in their starting lineup.
It's ridiculous. And no, Boogie's not going to be the same player right away.
No.
Like, I'm not going to say, like, oh, he's going to be perfect.
But he only has to replace Zaza-level play.
Zaza
who started 50 games for them last year. Like,
I mean, and he can definitely fall into somebody's knees. That's like a thing. That's definitely a thing he can do.
I mean, look at the way he's.
I could do that.
Look at the way he's injured Chris Paul over the years.
It's great.
DeMarcus Cousins barely touches Chris Paul, and Chris Paul goes flailing across the court.
Were you excited to reminisce about how much money Chris Paul has made over the last week? Just think about it. You know, just I know you were upset on Monday.
No, I think it will be. I will just be ready to relish in the fourth year of his contract what the Rockets are having to pay him when he is 30,000 years old.
One team I kind of want to talk about.
Oh,
is the team that just signed Raymond Felton to a 1-year deal for $2.8 million to push their tax bill.
What is the luxury tax now?
Up over $150 million.
Wow.
So they are the world's first $300 million basketball team.
Well, to be fair, they were just 2 games and 3 series away from the finals.
That's a really good
point. They
were
knocking on the door of a championship.
I mean, they were knocking on some
door. You got to keep a team like that together.
They were knocking on the same door that Magic was in Brentwood.
Yeah. A team that... exactly. I think it's important for them to keep Paul George, but yeah, like... Unless they think Andre Roberson being healthy, like, magically uncorks this, like, lineup where that... Also has Carmelo, who last time we talked about is not going to play 10 minutes a game.
The secret here is that Carmelo waived his no-trade clause to get to Oklahoma City.
Mm.
So they can just dump him to Atlanta whenever the fuck they want.
Eh.
Right? They'll just send a draft pick and send Carmelo like on the last bit of the season. And then he'll be gone from that and their tax bill will go down by $100 million.
I don't know if you have watched by now the Paul George documentary.
I have not.
But you have to watch this to watch Sam Presti talk on it. Have you heard any of the quotes that he's given?
I want you to give them to me.
When he talks about how they had to take a flyer on Paul George knowing he might leave.
Yeah.
Sam Presti, who is maybe the whitest person I've ever seen, looks into the camera and says, well, you know, one of my favorite bands is A Tribe Called Quest. And
oof.
There's a line from A Tribe Called Quest I love. They have a song that says, scared money, don't make money.
You know what?
And you know what? The Thunder have lived by that philosophy. But you have to watch the clip of this guy quoting this line as if it's just in his bones when he was on the streets listening to Q-Tip.
Excuse me, sir. I just need you to know I do not have my identification to get into this club because, as my favorite band said, I've left my wallet.
Where did you lose it?
El Segundo.
When I heard that song, I did not know what El Segundo was, where it was, that it was near the airport.
El Segundo is Spanish. It's Spanish for the shit smell.
Yeah.
That's a locals only joke.
Local, yeah.
I gotta explain
We're doing local SoCal here. Because right
There's a fucking shit processing plant down by the beach in El Segundo, and the whole town smells like shit.
Not related to anything. I just also heard recently that the east side of San Diego is like one of the redneckiest areas like in the country.
Yo, that is real as hell.
I just heard about
it. It is
that.
Scary out there.
Yeah. When you think of San Diego, I think of a very...
you know San Diego's red, right?
Yeah. I mean,
like, but I think of military, like, red.
Basically, I think of a military base and then a bunch of nice, rich white people that probably vote, but maybe wouldn't vote Trump. Maybe they did. No, yeah, didn't it go? How'd it go? Yeah,
San Diego's red. San Diego's a red city.
It just seems like a nice town. They have nice fish tacos.
Great fish tacos. I lived in San Diego for 10 years.
Yeah.
Love me some San Diego. There are parts of San Diego where it's like, you don't want to go to because they're really racist truck people.
Well, apparently the east side.
Yeah. Santee. Shouts out to Santee. Where the Sonic is.
Dwight Howard.
Oh, my God.
Going to the Wizards, I believe. Is that where he's going?
On my group chat, I predicted this was going to happen.
Oh, you did?
I did.
To replace Gortat.
No, not to replace Gortat, but just to be like... troll my friend who hates Dwight Howard and lives in D.C. and has Washington season tickets.
Wait, so he loves the Wizards?
No, he's a Lakers fan, but he just loves basketball.
Okay.
He has to live in D.C. just for work, and it's like, you know, you got to go out there. You got to see some ball.
So he's a Lakers fan.
He's a Lakers fan.
Does that
fan.
Mean he hates Dwight Howard?
He hates Dwight Howard.
Right, so he... like now has to live with him for a whole season.
Yeah, it's truly brutal. Shouts out to Sean and the pain and misery I've caused him by trolling.
Who's the Wizards coach?
Scotty Brooks.
Oh, what the fuck? What are they doing in that organization?
You know, I don't know. We'll let Austin Rivers figure it out.
Wait, he's there too now?
Yeah.
That's who they traded?
Yeah, and they signed Jeff Green.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the Wizards, I mean, I'm calling it here, right now. The Wizards don't make the playoffs next season because they're going to be a tire fire.
You never know because in the East, like, just having John Wall and Bradley Beal, you can make.
And last year, they were the 8th seed.
Yeah, that's right? True.
Like, with those guys, you know, they're going to get injured for 20 games.
Yeah.
Each one of them. And then, you know, is this going to be the year that Kelly Oubre and Otto Porter and, you know, whatever dumb,
this will be
terrible,
the year for Otto Porter.
Is this the Ian Mahinmin year?
There's never, that's not a thing.
God.
There's no long forgotten country or East Asian horoscope where there is an Ian Mahinmin year.
Yes, no, it's
happening. Kabbalah, or there's no calendar that has that on it.
Yeah, don't ask Madonna. It's not happening.
What other moves have happened? So where do you think the West is lining up now? Because the Rockets are probably going to keep Capella.
Yes, that's definitely going
to
happen.
And there's just going to go way into the tax to do it.
Yeah, and they're gonna squeeze him. He's not gonna be happy about
it. Actually, I have heard that it's not a given that he's gonna go and get a great offer.
Yeah, no. Because, like, who's gonna offer it to him?
Right.
Who's got the space? Just Atlanta, and that's it.
Yeah, Woj was talking about that the restricted free agents in general, it's a bad year for them.
There's a chance that he signs that qualifying offer.
Yeah, that seems like a real pissy move.
Like, because if he doesn't have any leverage and Houston can just go, okay, take a 15 to 20, take an $18 million per year deal.
Yeah.
Right? And he's looking for that 25 to 27.
Yeah.
And they can say, take the 18 or sign your QO.
Three. Yeah. But that's such a big difference, though. I wouldn't do that.
No.
In a league where, like, at any point you might just break your leg.
Yeah, that's tough. You know, if you get the Paul George leg break, that's a no-go.
So, by the way, do you have on your phone the emails? We got a new email with a question.
I do.
Want to ask ourselves.
We want to talk to Stefan about some emails. We've been sent by the Yeti some hot email takes.
So we had a flurry of activity on Monday. All those crazy signings, Boogie, Reddit, NBA went crazy.
Yes.
They all want to give up. I really don't think adding Cousins is necessarily. I think it's almost the Warriors just being like, "Fuck you guys."
Yeah, a little. It doesn't feel like it's like a game changer. It feels wild just because like it's wild and it's the Warriors and it's crazy. But like when you actually think about it, it's like, is he going to add that much? Like they're still going to win games by like they were winning games by 20 points.
Yeah, you know,
they're still going to win games by 20 points. I think
it's a fun, if they can get him to a point where he's healthy, it is an extra option for them to put him out there like against Capella.
Yeah.
Or that is a fun thing of like, we're not going to make Draymond cover, you know, let's say the finals is against the Sixers and Embiid is out there.
Yeah.
We're not going to make Draymond cover him. Cousins can do it.
Yeah. Cause he's got good low post, but he's not a good team defender, but maybe he will be if Draymond's yelling at him. If Draymond was yelling at me, I'd be a good team defender.
That's all it would take.
That's all it takes.
You just don't know what to do. Your body is apt and willing to do it.
Absolutely. My hips are fine. I have very, very, very flexible hips. That's a lie. Stefan emailed us and he says he thinks that the Boogie move is brilliant for both the Warriors and Boogie because the Warriors don't actually need him. And Boogie can just prove that he's a good dude.
Yes, because there is a sheen of if you're just on the team, like Nick Young now has this sheen of like Nick Young at one point
Nick
on
Young
the Wizards,
got a contract.
He was a little bit toxic on the Wizards.
Yeah, yes, he was.
And McGee has seemed toxic. Like you go through the thing and it's like you get scrubbed a little bit.
Yeah.
And
it's that Gilbert Arenas just doesn't wash off.
Yeah, Gilbert Arena. You know what? Why don't the Lakers sign Nate Robinson while we're at
because
it?
Because Nate Robinson is too busy being a movie star in Uncle Drew.
That's
in
right.
theaters today.
How was he in it?
He didn't talk.
I read today that he was, in real life, only 5'7".
Yeah, he's not very tall.
Yeah, and was always trying to struggle to get them to list him at 5'9".
That's pretty funny.
What was the question that Stefan asked us about contracts? He said something like, what is the worst contract to... And I thought you would have a good answer to this.
Yeah. So here's the couple of questions he had. The first one that he wants answered is, was this move, the Boogie move, detrimental to the league in basketball?
I think
we're both saying no.
No. No one gives a shit.
Right.
Also, I don't care. If the Warriors win the next million championships, if they play fun, amazing basketball, that's all I care about.
Yeah. I agree. If you or I were the dictator of the NBA, what changes would you make to the current salary cap rules? Why not?
I don't understand the cap enough to have an opinion about it.
Okay, if I was the dictator of the NBA, all right, give me this job. I want this job. Here's what I would do about the salary cap. I'd make Bird at 2 years. Right. So the way it works right now is you have.
I would make it at the third year. You become a bird. you physically become a bird.
That's fair. That,
and mean, then the fifth year you become Sue Bird.
Sue Bird. And then you'd be really good. That's the important thing is that you.
Yeah. Then you'd be able to shoot.
OK, just humor me for a second.
Bird after two. Is that what you
bird
said?
After two? So like there's right now there's non-bird cap rights. There's early bird cap rights, and then there's bird cap rights.
Okay. I just, I don't,
after
I'm not trying
one
to derail
year,
you.
2 years and 3 years.
I'm not trying to derail you. I just think if they were feeling clever enough to make something called the early bird rights,
yeah,
they should have made something called the worm rights. Some kind of player that's like so shitty, he gets to get poached from a team. You know?
See, okay, this
you
is
have
you
to,
as
wait,
dictator.
You have to
this
sign
is your
him,
salary cap as dictator.
You have to sign him with the early bird player because you sign the early bird, and it gets you the
get
worm.
You get the worm. Yes, okay. No, I'm into that, okay? So you get the worm. So who are the worms
it's
in the
league?
It's
always Dennis
right
Rodman.
Now? It's just, okay, it's only Dennis Rodman. I would say other worms could be like...
Well, D'Angelo Russell, ultimate reward.
He's the spy.
This
worm.
Is my feeling about the salary cap. It's just that, like, even those guys who are like, I'm sure, have mountains of like, math majors like Casey, looking at the economics and all that. They try to do these like micro adjustments to affect, to encourage or discourage player movement, and very often they don't work out the way they think they're going to work out.
Yeah.
So I know that they added like this ability for the retaining team to give a fifth year that other teams cannot.
Yes. You remember when that used to be the seventh year and the other teams could only give six?
Did Allen Houston have a 7-year contract with the Knicks?
I believe it was a 7-year contract. And do you remember the rule they put in place for Allen Houston? The Allen Houston rule?
Is that the amnesty rule?
It is the amnesty rule. And here is a trivia fact. The Allen Houston rule was never used on Allen Houston.
Ooh, and never used on Kobe, no matter what Henry Abbott wants.
No. Amnesty, don't amnesty Kobe.
Amnesty that.
Yeah.
But this fifth year that's supposed to be so persuasive to teams doesn't seem to really have that much appeal.
There's no value in it. And the reason there's no value in it is because players currently are valuing freedom of movement and freedom of, just... salary. I think people are betting on themselves, and
I think the combination of LeBron's decisions and KD have first of all taken off the stigma of moving teams, because those two guys took the brunt of all and I think players have realized, I only have leverage in these moments when I'm changing teams.
Yeah,
and if I sign a 5-year contract, that basically means I don't have any leverage for 5 years.
Yeah.
And even Paul George,
you can get traded wherever the fuck anybody wants to trade you.
Paul and people always find a place for these contracts to go.
Yeah,
like it's except for Deng type situations, but for the most part, they'll find a place to dump your contract.
Yeah, what was the most untradeable contract in the league? It was Joe Johnson. You remember that one?
I don't.
Joe Johnson's untradeable contract that the Hawks had, and they traded him to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Right. Any contract can be traded. Any contract. Carmelo this year.
Even Paul George, who stayed with Oklahoma,
yeah,
didn't do a 5-year contract.
No, he did a 3-year and with a player option for the fourth.
Right. So he's still basically preserving that player movement option for himself.
And he's a guy who knows better than anybody that you can lose it all instantly.
Yeah.
And to have that guy, because what he did the 3-year. People were saying that he should have done the 2-year option after the second year, because after that second year, he'll finally be eligible.
He got to his 10 years,
the 10 years max contract.
And that's, he gets like watch. They give him a watch.
Yeah, yes, and it's great. It says you're an NBA star now, and it's got a picture of Michael Jordan.
And the backside says you the man now, dog.
Yes, yeah, exactly. He did it after his 11th year. And right. So I think that that's his, like, I'm going to play it safe.
Right.
I'm still going to be good at year 11. Like, we're going to make this happen. So I feel like the person who I would have expected to take the most years took less years. And that, I think, shows you exactly how and why this is going to go that way.
Well, but that's also why
your contract.
That's why I have no opinions about what to do with the cap, because that's a move. That fifth year thing was a move to be like, let's give the home teams like an advantage.
Yeah,
and it just hasn't become an advantage. So like these sort of like macroeconomic decisions they make just seem to blow up. Have just as good a chance of like working against them.
Yeah, yeah. So teams are signing people to 3-year deals, and people are realizing, I would rather just have a 1 or a 2-year deal than a 3-year deal, so I can just like re-up later. And that, to me, it seems counterintuitive to the goals of the player union to have that happen. But the player union is just a collection of individuals who are trying to make their own thing. I think it
depends, because if you're JJ Redick, you love the way things have developed,
because he's made $30 million over the last 2 years.
And KCP's going to make $30 million over 2 years, which is insane.
Crazy.
Like, there's no way the Lakers would have signed him to a 2-year $30 million contract, but that's what they have done.
Yes, and you know, I've got my own opinions about KCP. Also, the 2-year $30 million contract that they signed him to would have been illegal in the terms of the cap, because he went from 18 to 12.
You
can only go down by the same amount that you can get raises up. Contracts can't jump in between in those areas like
right.
that. So you can do that from year to year on a contract with a guy.
Now, somebody like Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, poor Isaiah Thomas.
Did he sign yet?
He didn't. Rumors are that he's in talks with the Orlando
Magic.
That's
what I heard, Orlando.
And they haven't closed the deal because everyone's just so sad about it. Right? It's like they want to sign it, but they just start crying before.
Have you watched the Norm Macdonald stand-up, the last one?
I did actually watch it.
The one where he's talking about, God, who is it? Like an old actor that he wanted to be, that they like asked to be in a commercial.
I can't remember.
And it was some old like actor. And they're like, oh, that's funny. To make this commercial, I'm getting paid, you know, a lot less than I used to make for the television show. Like, can you ever put it in the contract that I'm sad?
yeah.
That's what Isaiah Thomas is going to have put into his contract.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's sad because, like, he needed that Brinks truck. Back up the Brinks truck. It got backed up into his knee. Yeah. And now he can't make any money.
Him, Nerlens. There's like a
Nerlens with Oklahoma City. Oh,
you could build a team of just like most money lost.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't remember the numbers around why James Harden was traded from the Thunder. But
it was not enough to.
I just recently heard that it was only like $8 or $10 million that they didn't want to pay him
over the course of 4 years,
and too. So that's why they had to get rid of him.
Yeah, which is like, I mean, you know, if we're going to relitigate that trade from 2014,
well, as Sam Presti says, scared money don't make money.
That's very true. That's very true. And you know, he would say that James Harden there was scared money, but then James Harden made money. So it looks like somebody's lying here.
As one of Sam Presti's favorite artists, DMX would say, no. I do want
to... Sign here on the X, and we'll give it to you.
I do want to rant a little bit, because I was thinking about our podcast and how our insights are generated from nothing. We have no access, no research, and we don't spend that much time thinking about it. You spend a lot of time thinking about it.
I think about this stuff all the time.
But we don't have that much ability to, like, call someone up, interview them, whatever.
I'm going to Summer League for 10 days.
That's right. Yeah. But until this point, you haven't.
Okay. Yeah. This is your.
Okay. So I was listening to the Zach Lowe podcast because I wanted to hear him talk to Brian Windhorst, and the Bill Simmons podcast where he talked to his friend House or whatever. And in both of them,
Bill Simmons talked to his friend The Pool.
Yeah.
Just like, fuck you, Bill Simmons.
In both of those podcasts, especially the low Brian Windhorst one. Brian Windhorst has access.
Yeah.
And Zach Lowe has some, I guess. But Brian Windhorst is like sort of like the embedded reporter with the LeBron camp.
Yes.
In that podcast, they were talking about how, like, well, you know, the stuff about Boston came up, about LeBron going to Boston, and everybody, we all knew it wasn't real. And we knew that the Philly meeting on Sunday was a courtesy meeting.
Yeah.
So This is my problem with this.
Okay.
Is that if you knew that, then your reporting around those 24 to 48 hours about the Boston prospects, about the Denver Nuggets prospects of getting LeBron, and about the Philly, what you're now calling a courtesy meeting, your reporting did not reflect the knowledge that you had of the situation.
Yep.
So you're functioning as like, either as like a PR function of the NBA to just sort of talk about these things, but not give us any actual information, or you're reducing your level of analysis to the level of Casey and I, which is like, you just talk shit about the league. And like, why are you a reporter? Like, what is the difference between your bullshit? I know my opinion about the NBA's bullshit, 'cause I sit in like a small apartment and talk about this stuff. But like, I don't have LeBron's number in my phone.
They are doing the same thing with LeBron that the media is doing with Trump.
You know what? I think I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
That LeBron is Trump. LeBron is as bad as Trump. And the Lakers may have traded for or signed Donald Trump to the power forward position.
What they're doing.
I think I'm reading you correctly, Casey.
What they're doing. Okay. Is they are taking and prioritizing access over information delivery.
Yeah.
Right? And that's bad in the government. I don't really care that much about it in basketball. Like, I would much rather have access to what LeBron thinks when he wants to send it out, because it seems like he's pretty open with his team of reporters and his, like, the people that he talks to. Like, I'd rather treat him like that than, like, get the hard-hitting, like, evidence and then never hear anything about it
again. I agree with you. Basically, I agree with you. I just don't think you should call it journalism then.
Yeah. I mean, there's favors to be traded.
Yes. I'm getting a standing ovation from Chris.
Yeah.
I will say the reason why, like, the NBA is fun because most of the stuff doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right? But like,
oh my God, it's so fun to have something that's fun that doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter at all, right? Well,
I need that so bad.
Like, basically for the last 2 weeks, we have been like staying up till 3 a.m. reading Twitter to find out like what a guy decided to do with his job.
Yeah.
Like imagine if we were following like our various job searches and just like, well, I'm either going to take a part-time job at Chipotle or I'm going to go back to temping. And like, everybody was like, what is he going to do?
I mean, I know I'd have one follower, and it's my mom, because she asks all the time.
She would start a podcast about Casey's job search.
Yes. Well,
but it's not inconceivable that these same people will like potentially talk about a real subject.
Yeah.
Which could either be sexual harassment, could be something gambling related, could be something corruption related. There could be actual issues that come up, and the model that they're working on is not ideal to me.
Yeah.
It just really bugged me that the Simmons, Lowe, Windhorst, and even Woj to a certain point were on their podcasts speaking so matter of frankly about like, everybody knew the Boston stuff was wrong.
Yeah.
Like he was never going to go to Boston.
Yeah.
Except like all the people reading about the NBA, and the people on Reddit NBA are some of the most passionate NBA fans.
Yeah.
So everybody there is freaking out that like Philly's got a meeting on Sunday because they're like, what does this mean? It could have been immediately doused out by like, it's just a courtesy thing. He's not even meeting with Rich Paul.
Yeah. I mean, then does that make the courtesy meeting not a courtesy anymore? Then is it just a big fuck you? Like, at what level of
what level of we're taking this seriously do you have to like put in? Like,
I mean, this
like,
might be a...
I would love to meet with you to further our professional career on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Like,
That's what these guys are like.
If you do this meeting and then the reporting comes out immediately before the meeting happens that it's like, it doesn't matter. He's only going to the Lakers. Like, that kind of fucks with your business interests because, you know, like,
well, that's also a courtesy level, also a major problem, though, that ESPN is a provider and a media source for the same content.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is why we appreciate that you come to Rule of Threes podcast for a independent look at the National Basketball Association and its actors.
We are independently funded.
Yes.
We have no sponsors and we will stay that way.
Yes.
Even when Casper Mattresses calls us up, we're gonna be like, fuck you, Casper Mattresses.
Tell you what though, I do love my Casper mattress.
Fuck Squarespace.
Ooh.
Stamps.com.
MailChimp.
MailChimp.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fuck W Promote.
Bonobos.
Yeah.
All those. Yeah. We won't be sponsored by any of them.
Cool.
So, Casey, you're leaving New York tomorrow.
I'm leaving New York tomorrow to head to the land of the heat and the sun in Las Vegas.
Cannot wait for this Vegas preview. Oh, Chris, man. Are you joining? Oh, gotta get out there.
He's not coming.
Chris has a new child.
He's a new dad, and I'm so proud of my boy, Chris. Is this
your first one?
This is Chris's first kid.
So, in my opinion, call a nanny, get out to Vegas.
Yeah, that would go over very well.
Yeah,
why not? I think the wife would be bad.
Get a nanny.
She's supportive, too.
She's very supportive.
Get a nanny, bring the wife out to Vegas.
Yeah.
You know what? You stay home, send the wife to Vegas.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Megan out to Vegas.
It's
like
her analysis.
Yes. Yeah. Make 100% her see Uncle Drew five times.
Yeah. Oh, I think she'd kill me.
I can't wait. We'll talk to you next week, and hopefully over the weekend some more crazy shit will happen.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, you know,
we got to find out where Nick Young and Brooke Lopez are going to sign.
Isaiah Thomas. Oh. We're going to get more sample sizes on Mo Wagner.
Yes.
Who looked pretty good.
Looked pretty good in game one.
You know who looks like a great shooter?
Me, Svikaveli. Svi Mikhailiuk.
He looks like a very good shooter.
He does. And then there's a bunch of other flotsam on the summer league
team. And we'll see how many shots Trae Young has missed.
Oh, so sad.
And I know that part of the sadness is that you have to care about what were just recently college players.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, this is the time when I'm in on them. Yeah. I'm in. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to learn their names and what their faces look like and what weird stuff they like to do on Twitter.
Yeah. All right, Casey, we'll see you next week.
Sounds great.
All right, bye.
Bye.